Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:07 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch the Yeti, 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, Certified Master Inspector. You've seen me on TV as the house detective and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, and we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you, your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 340-1045, 340-1045. If you're calling from Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, Boulder, Colorado?
Yeah, I was there this week.
Large boulders there?
There are lots of large boulders, very okay. High and dry. I think that's
high
where my voice went.
Oh, yeah.
High and dry. I woke up the first morning there, and my earlobes were wrinkled.
Wow. It's like Palm Springs. You ever been to Palm Springs?
No.
In the summer?
High and dry, though. Same idea.
Super dry.
Yeah.
Super dry.
I'm a little dehydrated. Anyway, if you're outside of the Jacksonville area, 904-340-1045. What is on your mind, fine
well,
sir?
Well, you know, hey, listen, the weather's changing.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of things happening, you know, in our area. Hey, I spent a little time because everybody complains, you know, not everybody, but
I don't complain
people,
about anything. unless I'm cold.
Yeah, right. Now I got a long list of things. But, you know, we always have people always calling in about snakes, you know, how do about snakes. So when I was flicking through, you know, looking at YouTube things about, you know, people post about snakes. So anyway, you can make yourself a nice snake bamboo trap. You know, and the interesting thing about us, the bamboo, you know, it's attractive to a snake. You know, he sees a hole, he wants to get in that hole, you know, just like you.
Oh,
you know,
so they go in it as though it were a pipe.
Right.
Okay.
Right, exactly. Just like you, you know, put a set of nail polish out there and you just attract it right to it. You know what I mean? So the snake, you know, climbs and goes into there. It has a little trigger device that actually pins him down. And so he's in his head's in first. Uh-huh. He can't withdraw himself.
Like a Chinese handcuff.
So I tried it, and I made one because we got a lot of bamboo. You have to have a little bit of larger diameter bamboo if you want to get a bigger snake or a smaller one. And, you know, and it's pretty safe to handle. I have not yet caught a snake, but if you're interested in making one, you know, go to YouTube. And
Nope.
Anyway,
not gonna do it.
Or we can use the old-fashioned way of putting to catch snakes, people always say that they're around their doors or they're coming out the porch, that they'll stay in one spot. Is another a very effective way is to take contact paper. You know, you put it on your drawers, turn it upside down, and staple it to a board. It can hold up to a 5-foot rattlesnake once you get them out there.
Why would I want to do that?
Well, snakes frequent the same place. And if you have children, dogs, and you know, and you see them out there 4 or 5 times, you want to get rid of them, but you're not going to stay out there with a shotgun for you know, all day until he rolls up there one day in the morning.
Leave them alone, and they'll crawl home, usually, rattling their tails behind them.
Being an owner of a nursery before, you know, so I understand that. Usually they see a 230-pound guy walking towards them, and they see him, they usually go the other direction. But if you have children, dogs, you want to try to get rid of them, there's an idea. But one of the simplest things to do, I was thinking, what could you do in the garden during the winter? And one of the simplest things that I've done before, and to produce something healthy and vital and quickly, is to grow your own sprouts. Do we ever talk about that, growing your own sprouts?
We've done it at home.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's very, very easy. Very, very easy.
We do it in jars.
Yes, in jars. All you need to do is get some of the sprouts that work very effective are going to be radish, lentils, broccoli. Of course, alfalfa sprouts are, and you're doing it for nothing. Basically, you know, when you go to the Publix or the local grocery store, and you're buying the sprouts, it's $5 or $6 a little. What is that? A little quart or half a quart?
It's very expensive.
Very expensive, and you can do it for what? What do you expect?
Pennies.
Pennies.
Pennies. Truly pennies. When we've done it in the past, we don't have any active right now at the house.
Right, right.
We'll get a ball jar or mason jar.
Yeah, exactly.
And get 6, 10, or 12 of them and just line them up.
Right.
All in the windowsill.
And, once you get germination, drain the water, put them in the refrigerator, and they're good for, two weeks if you got it. Depends on the type, you know. But some of the good things about growing sprouts are very nutritious. Simple. If you do it with your children love gardening, and it's something they can see, and they get immediate results, immediate gratification. But they're packed with every kind of nutrient that amplify 10 times the amount that you would normally get in the
And it adds a real nice, fresh, crunchy taste to a burger, sandwich,
whatever you do. Throw it on a sandwich, put it on a salad, but a few cents, a do-it-yourself project, won't cost you anything, and then you can participate in the good health benefits. You know, next week, it's going to be in the 35 at night. Can you believe that?
It was 20 in Boulder this week.
20.
The low was 20. It was terrible.
Well, it's drier. They say the dry cold doesn't bother you.
That's why my earlobes wrinkled.
Okay. But so if you're planning on, it's a good time to make sure that all your containers – you're thinking about winter, you know, cold protection. If you're a tropical garden person, it has a lot of plants in containers, thinking about moving their position, changing them up to the south side of the house, underneath trees. These are the only important places to get
protection. I'll
tell
you what I've
been
doing. I have not done it yet this year, but in preparation for the cold, is I've got that sliding glass door off the dining room, and it's under the eave. So all the things I have potted out in that area,
right,
I bring up to the sliding glass door under the eaves so no frost goes on them.
That's perfect.
And then put a blanket over them.
Right.
And you get a tremendous amount of heat loss out of a sliding glass door.
Right.
So essentially that heat is
perfect.
From the inside the house is radiating into the blanketed area where where the pots are.
Right.
And I get them up there a little bit early before the pot has had a chance to totally dissipate its heat from the natural sun. Mm-hmm. But that's been effective.
Yeah,
it's easy.
That's very effective.
And here's another interesting thing about doing that.
Keeping the frost off and the heat from the glass, very effective. I like
because it's all up against the sliding glass door, I don't forget about it.
Okay.
Because I can see it.
I got to get out there and get it.
Yeah, you do something to protect your pot, your plants, and depending what it is and you forget about it, you end up losing it for another reason.
Right, right.
So I can see it.
Yes, you forget a lot of times. You can forget the water. It's out of the irrigation. There's some things that you need to remember when they're. If you have bougainvillea, a lot of people have bougainvillea standards and containers. Just the easiest thing for them is to just hold the water, withdraw the water, and or ficus.
That seems counterintuitive now. For all these years, we've been talking about when the cold is coming, you want to super irrigate so the plant doesn't dry out. You're also retaining more heat in the ground because of the water.
Exactly.
So why are you saying now?
Well, we're gonna do this process of, you know, in tropical zones, the winter and the summer are delineated oftentimes by rainfall. And so more moisture in the summer, and then it gets dry in the winter. The temperatures is about the same in the daylight hours, because it gets closer to the equator, are about the same. So, you know, up here in our, when we're in the northern area, daylight hours shrink, temperature, we have all those other things. But a plant, when it senses that it's getting less and less water, it goes dormant and expecting winter. And when you take a bougainvillea, a ficus, some of these tropical plants, you can withdraw the water and stick them in the garage, and they think it's winter. And they'll actually survive with only maybe a bougainvillea, maybe a quart of water during the whole winter. It just goes, it shuts off, basically.
And the darkness in the garage doesn't cause
difficulty. And the darkness in the garage causes it to go dormant. You know, one quart of water, maybe a month, you know, depends on how long you keep it in the garage. And then you just roll it out, roll it out in the spring, put it underneath a tree, let it acclimate, water, and then it's back at it again. You can do that on large ficuses. Of course, they'll drop all their leaves. They're going to drop their leaves. So don't the bougainvillea, some other large tropical plants, very easy to do. Just withdraw the water and put them in storage. So there's some of the things you want to also have and be prepared if you're getting ready for our colder season is to get some frostcloth. It comes in three different grades, so you want to make sure that you select the best quality one. One of the benefit of
is the different grades have to do with performance or durability.
Performance.
Oh, really? Okay.
And when you have the grades and the benefit of frostcloth, I want to encourage people to get some frostcloth. It can be used over and over again. It's permeable. It lets the air circulate. It lets some of the sun come in there. So
and you don't get condensation beneath it.
Right. If you forget to take it off, it's not a big deal for 2 days. Then the other thing you should also get is get some landscape staples. You know, if we have you put the frost cloth down, then it gets windy at night and blows off. It's up against the fence, and then it's of no avail. So putting some landscape staples, they're about, you know, $4 or $5. You get a handful of them. And then you just stick them around the plant, and you're good. You want to create that tent kind of thing where the ground. This is how cold protection works. You want the ground to radiate heat back into the little tent that you create.
Same idea with a sliding glass door.
Right.
Let's roll up to St. Simon's Island and see if we can get some ideas on Mike about mulch and snakes. Mike, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Yeah. Hi. Y'all were talking about snakes a little bit earlier.
Sure.
And it's been my experience that pine straw mulch tends to attract snakes. Do you have any views on that and any ideas on some other mulch that might not do that?
Well, I could see, Mike, you know, how pine straw could, you know, be an attractant. Not that it attracts it, it's because it could get underneath it very easily. You know, it could, and it's not going to feel the weight of the mulch on it. I think that, you know, cypress mulch, because it packs down very good. Pine bark is a little loose, but I would go, if you have a lot of snake problems and you're concerned about that, I would go with the cypress mulch, because it creates that solid mat that really you can't get underneath very easily. Pine straw is light and airy, and that's the advantage of it. It provides some good air, you know, circulation around the crowns of plants. But the pine straw, I definitely understand. Cypress mulch would be your best bet.
What is cypress mulch? I'm not familiar with it.
It's just a ground wood chip of a cypress tree, and it's rot resistant, you know.
I see.
And you can get it dyed in brown, but don't get that garish red, you know. I don't know.
Natural color looks better.
Yeah. Okay. Is that very expensive or?
No, very reasonable.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. Appreciate the advice.
Thank you, Mike. It's 7:20 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right back on the phones to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. 7:25 here at News 104.5. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, along with Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden, enjoying the day together, taking your calls at 340-1045. You know, the cool weather brings to my mind romance by the fire.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
a dangerous
thought. Yeah, man. It is dangerous. Here is a great way to destroy romance by the fire.
What's that?
the house catches fire.
Oh, yeah, that'd ruin it.
It's so interesting to me as a guy that studies these sort of things, you know, after 35,000 home inspections. Our fireplaces are probably the most neglected single area of our home. Gutters, it might be a close second. Mm. But with fireplaces, there's an idea in many people's mind that because we live in the South, you know, we don't use them quite as much, so they're not in as much need of service. Well, here's the truth. It isn't so much creosote buildup and other things that cause damage to the fireplace. It's the moisture. And the moisture here is as intense as anywhere in the country, and it's further aggravated because we never clean them. We end up with lots of debris inside the fireplaces. So you've got the debris acting like a wet blanket inside the fireplace. In particular, with our metal prefab fireplaces, it's very, very, very common to have a fireplace that's virtually never used, that certainly by the 20th year, it's destroyed from the inside out. So it's critically important that if you intend to use your fireplace this year, that you get that baby properly cleaned and inspected. And those two things go hand in hand. You need to be sure that it's all the way clean so that during the inspection, there's a device called a CHIM scan, a chimney scanning camera. It's a bit like a colonoscopy camera, except it's longer, thankfully. It goes from the bottom of the chimney at the firebox all the way to the top, and it's taken a live-action video all the way along its path to assure that from top to bottom, there's no breaches. Another important piece of that mix is examining that chimney flue from the attic, should it be accessible. And if ever you're in your attic and you notice black streaks at your chimney, doesn't matter whether it's metal prefabricated or an old traditional gorgeous masonry type of thing, When you see those black streaks, that's telling you that water is penetrating through the flue. It picks up that little bit of moisture or black soot and whatnot, and it migrates outside of the brick. When you see that, it's absolutely time for professional service. So if you're getting ready to use a fireplace, get that baby cleaned out and inspected. Do you need to do it every year? The answer is yes, according to the Chimney Safety Institute of America. But very candidly, we get such little use. If you're doing it even every other year, that puts you really at the high end. If you want to do a quick peek on your own, something you can do, especially relevant for these metal prefabs that are so prefabricated fireplaces so common in our area, stick your head inside the firebox, not when there's a fire, and just look up. Flashlight might be helpful. If that damper in the top of the firebox is all rusty or appears that the rust is beginning, that's telling you you're moving moisture through the chase, through the cap, and there's a very good chance you've done some damage there. And highly recommend don't use it until it's been properly looked at. If it's been looked at and determined to be safe, that's okay. In one sense, a little rust isn't going to be problematic.
Yes.
At the same time, that's the indication that you could have significant problems. It's kind of like a hairy mole, you know?
Yeah.
You might not die from it. Then again, it may be melanoma. And yes, the right thing to do is check it out.
Look it out. Look at it, right.
Moving forward. We don't want to lose any great listeners or
not yet, since we're down to two. Your mother
one last
and
year.
Aunt Dottie.
Yeah, that's right. She's a very loyal listener. We appreciate that. It's 7:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We're going to take a very brief break to listen to Fox News traffic, weather, then more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 7:36, beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Should you need Larry, easy to find all the time online, larrysgarden.com. Larry's also got a telephone, 346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, go homepro.com. Also got the telephone, 268-8200. 1-1. Up to Hilliard, checking in with Jennifer. Answer her chimney question. Welcome, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Morning, ma'am.
I had a quick question about the chimneys. I know you just had talked about the chimneys that have the fireplace has a full chimney. What about a fireplace that's vented on the inside that the chimney does not go up all the way anymore? What kind of maintenance needs to be taken care of on that?
Is that a gas fireplace now, ma'am?
Yes.
Well, the right thing to do there is have your gas service company to assure that it's burning completely and burning clean. That's the real first step, and typically that's going to take care of it. If you have no chimney to service, then you're strictly just servicing the gas logs and the igniter and whatnot. But if that hasn't been done in several years, it's simple and inexpensive to have your gas service company care to that for you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Over to Don in Mandarin, wants to share a thought on fireplaces. Welcome, Don.
Hey, Wally, Don here, your creek mate down the creek. A couple weeks ago, you were talking about you're looking to get electric fireplace, and you're researching them, and I'm just curious what you came up with.
Well, that's a good question. I haven't yet made a decision on that. There's a company called Simplex I'm leaning towards, but I'll make you this promise. As soon as I choose it, I will share that with you. In the interim, my go-to for chimney cleaning, chimney inspecting, and servicing of the caps and covers, which is the primary failure mode, is Chimney Champions. You can look them up, chimneychampions.com. How many fireplaces do you have, Don?
Well, I'm buying a house that doesn't have one. So I've got a nice one here, but new house doesn't, and the wife wants the electric one, which... I hear they're really good nowadays, but...
The higher end ones are absolutely gorgeous. Well, I'll continue my research and get that to you.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
All righty, and reminder, gohomepro.com for that next home inspection. Good job. Up to Durham, North Carolina, checking in with Robert to talk about balloon frame houses. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, guys. How are you this morning?
Awesome.
Good, yes. So I used to live in Jacksonville, moved up here about 3 months ago, and my girlfriend is renting a 110-year-old house. It's got balloon-framed housing throughout, and it's lined with beadboard on every wall. How does one go about air sealing such a place? Because this house is really drafty.
Nice. Well, let me ask you this. My guess is there's no insulation at all in the walls. Is that correct?
Probably, yeah. I don't even think there's any fire stops. I mean, there's none up in the attic, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a special challenge. Beadboard's gorgeous, by the way. Mm. What is the exterior framing? You said it was all beadboard on the inside?
Yeah, so the interior framing appears to be, they put up the old-fashioned, you know, true-dimensional 2x4 from top to bottom. And then it just appears to be beadboard wainscoting. It's probably...
That sounds gorgeous. Tell me about the exterior siding. What is the exterior siding?
Oh, the exterior, it's hard to tell because the owner threw a vinyl siding at some point.
Well, that's hideous. That's a shame. A gorgeous farm. I don't mean to say your home's hideous.
It's not my property. I agree with you. So.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that more than likely, underneath of that aluminum siding, it's very, very common they'll put a... either a vapor barrier of some type and occasionally some small bit of insulation to slow the infiltration. But about all you can do is once that's on there is really concentrate around the doors, the window frames, and whatnot with caulk. How about window-wise? What kind of windows do you have?
So on the inside it has the the old-fashioned double-hung windows, but on the outside he did install new storm windows.
Yeah, storm windows. More than likely, aside from some basic caulking, sealing, and weather stripping, there's not that much you're going to be able to do. From the inside, you can do a little bit, even simple things like pulling the outlet covers and putting their little foam gaskets on them. But just,
yeah, I've done that already.
Yeah, the age of the house and the fact that it's beadboard on one side and probably, you know, gosh knows what's on the outside. Yeah, it's just real tough to address, and you just kind of end up living with it.
Yeah, and one of the other reasons I was calling is because I've read a bunch of different opinions on it. Does it make sense if this were my house to go ahead and cap either in the attic or underneath where basically the stud base to stop that stack effect?
It absolutely does if you have reasonable access. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because, I've been up in the attic caulking around, electrical penetrations and stuff like that, so...
Makes a big difference. Yeah, that's an unending task. You essentially have a colander of leaks. Every one you stop is beneficial, but there's going to be a boatload of them.
That
if you're off-grade, which you mentioned, that sealing everything in that floor is a tremendous help. Something you might consider, depending on the budget, also is spray foam in that attic. That will have a tremendous difference,
yeah,
and that will go right on down
to
the top.
Yeah, definitely not in my cards. I asked him if he would even just put down some blown-in cellulose, and I got crickets. So I figured, well, at least I'll try to, you know, prevent some of the drafts for, you know, $100 of my own money.
The blown-in insulation will have no impact on air infiltration. That will help you with heat transfer a bit, but the air just moves right through it.
Right, right. Okay.
Good luck with it.
Well,
it sounds gorgeous.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, sir.
Thanks.
Bye now. Over to Orange Park, checking in with Barry to hear about his greenhouse. Welcome, Barry.
Good morning.
Need you to turn your radio off, sir.
I've got two questions for you. One, I have a bunch of papayas, and last year they froze out, even though I put a greenhouse over them. And but they came up from the bottom.
Right.
So, I mean, does it make sense, like, once we get into winter, rather than building greenhouses around them, just cut them off and let them come back up again?
Well, you could do the technique where I told you that you could, you know, withdraw the water, put them in the shade, and then withdraw the water, and then roll them in. They're in containers. Roll them in the garage. Roll them in the garage and then put about a
quart. They're in the ground.
Oh, they're in the ground. Okay, I understand. Okay. Yeah, so they're big. Well, it just depends on if you have a normal, if we have a warm winter, you don't want to cut them back. So if you just leave them and try to protect them as best as you can, protect the crown, you know, that can be easily done, or the base of the tree, just by stacking mulch all the way up the base of the tree, you know, maybe two to 3 feet tall. Pine straw would be your best bet because it's light, but that actually creates a pretty good barrier from the cold, that pine straw. Yeah, it keeps it, so you could then drape your fabric over it. That would be the net. How tall are they?
Oh, probably 15 feet.
Oh, that's a good size. Yeah, that's good size. Yeah. Well, that would be your best bet, is just to take some pine straw bales, stack them up, put it around the base, and then when they freeze down, just cut the top off.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money last year building greenhouses over them, and it still didn't help. I guess I didn't have enough heat in there.
Not enough heat. They're a true tropical, you know, so they're not marginal. Some tropicals you can grow, you know, up here, they have some marginal zones, but that one's really cold sensitive.
Also, I bought a greenhouse, which I'm erecting now. My wife's got them. I don't remember what they're called. The plants give the flowers that they make the little wreaths out of in Hawaii.
Alay? What's the plant they make alay out of?
Plumeria.
Yeah, plumeria. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty. Actually, if you put them out of the frost, I've seen plumeria survive outside. You know, under trees. Planted in the ground, so they're pretty cold tolerant. The main thing, if they're in containers, you want to make sure you keep the container as warm as possible, because the container will be air temperature. So if it's 20 degrees, 30 degrees, that's going to kill it. The plants that are in the ground do have the soil temperature, and that's around 50 degrees in our area. So if you put them up against the house, like Wally said, or put them in a warmer area, drape over fabric, they'll definitely survive. They have some cold resistance. I'm always amazed finding plumerias in like microclimates in people's yards or in their landscapes where they have survived cold weather. Some are more cold tolerant than others too.
Yeah.
So you're going to have much better luck with that. All right. Again, you can use that if they're in containers. Put them in the garage. Withdraw the water. Put them in the garage. And they'll survive without water during the winter. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. And Mark and Amelia Island's got some thoughts on a snake repellent. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Mark.
Hey there, guys. I live on Amelia Island up by Fort Clinch, and I've got a lush patio, and I've always had snakes back there.
Yeah.
And I don't like snakes, whether they're brown, black, green, orange, purple, I don't care. I don't like snakes. And what I would do is I would put cinnamon sticks and sprinkle cinnamon around. And for 2 years now, I have not seen a snake back there.
How often do you apply that cinnamon? That doesn't sound like it has much staying power.
Yeah.
The powder doesn't stay too well, but I use cinnamon sticks.
Yeah.
And that hangs around for a long time.
What's a long time? A month? 2 months? Give it just swag.
Probably two,
Interesting. Yeah, and your house smells
I
like cinnamon.
Yeah, and it's nice, but I don't have any idea whether cinnamon sticks work. But I will say this about mothballs, that mothballs are scientifically 100% sure do not work. You know, so I'll look into cinnamon sticks. I've never heard of that, but I mean, their snakes do smell. They don't smell through their nose. They smell through their tongue. And they get those little trace things that are airborne on their tongue, and they can tell.
Yes, I don't like using other chemicals, too many chemicals and such. And that seemed to be, I haven't seen a snake in 2 years, so.
Well, you know, people say this sometimes that mothballs work, but it's not. They do not work. But it could be the placebo effect. You know what I mean? I forget. But I'll look into it. And I'll see what's written about it. And I'll write it down on the tab. But if you're having success with it, no telling. You know.
It's been working, like I say, for the past 2 years, and being right by Fort Clinch, I get a lot of varmints coming over and a lot of.
Oh yeah. Well, and, you know, I would say this. This is what I could say about that. This is we're not looking at the right angle. Is that the cinnamon sticks could deter insects, and also they could deter rodents.
Yeah.
It could deter other reptiles like lizards or something like that. And once they go away, guess what? The snakes are going away. If the snakes don't have anything to eat, you're unfriendly. You know, you're not throwing your food out there. So I think more along that line that's what it's doing. It's keeping because cinnamon is an active ingredient on insects, an insect repellent. And I also know that they use it sometimes to repel rodents. So that is probably what is happening, Mark.
It sounds like success.
All right.
Yeah, for me, it's been a success.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Mark. Bye. Yeah, you can't argue with success. You know what happens a lot of times,
You can't argue with success, Drew.
Is things happen anecdotally. Using the snake example, a guy sees a snake, I don't want to have snakes, and you know, he puts WD-40 in the yard, and the snake happened to have left, and then no other snake replaced it, and
exactly.
They go, oh, look,
exactly.
There's a difference between a correlation and a causation.
Right.
So that's where a lot of these kind of old wives' tales
All wives' tales come out. Just like mothballs been said for 100 years that they're a snake repellent. They're not a snake repellent. They're sold as a snake repellent, but they scientifically proven that they're not an effective snake repellent.
Unless,
they don't work.
Unless anecdotally it did.
Yeah.
It's 7:50 here at News 104.5. Brief break, jumping right back to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 7:56 here at News 104.5. Larry and I, as always, are grateful for your tremendous support of the show, as well as Larry's Garden and Home Pro Inspections. Over to Robert on the south side, who's painting his house. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. I've been looking around. I'm getting ready to, I want to paint my house relatively soon.
Yeah.
And I've seen different companies. And without mentioning any names, I've also heard of this one company that paints your house. You don't ever have to do it again.
Yep.
Well, we know which one they are.
Rhino Shield.
Rhino Shield. That's all right.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a fabulous product.
Yep.
It's quite expensive. And the real secret sauce of Rhino Shield, it's a wonderful, wonderful coating that they put on.
Yep.
But they are meticulous in the prep work.
The prep work is everything on painting the house.
That is the key. And frankly, that's where so much of the expense comes in.
Right.
If you prep things perfectly, you know, you could put yogurt on your house and it might last.
Yeah, it's the prep work is everything on any paint job.
Yep.
Okay, just like you give it an A. If I could afford it, I could go with that company.
Right? Yeah. Yep. And very candidly, if you, because the prep work is so critical, if at this particular year the economics doesn't allow you to get it done right, be it Rhino Shield or you may choose a different company.
Wait one more year.
Wait on it.
It's worth it.
Because what ends up happening is if you can't afford to get the prep work done right, no matter what paint you put on or what other surface coating you put on, it just isn't going to perform. So you really shortchange yourself.
Right.
And these guys, if you go to Craigslist, you can get some guy with a sprayer to blow and go, as we affectionately call it.
Yeah.
is it, other than a little bit of color change or color freshening, you've done nothing to really enhance the home.
You know, I've had a lot of clients that use Rhino Sheet. I never had any. They always appreciate it.
Same here.
Yeah, I've never had any negative input on it.
Yeah. And the cost of quality is soon forgotten when things perform the way you want.
Exactly.
Yeah, I respect that. All righty. Well, we're grateful that you've been with us. It's 7:59 here at News 104.5.
Thank you.
And a reminder, please, turn signals. Have a great day.
All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.